This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Well, Christmas is the season of giving, and that's something one local group has been doing for the last several years. The Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Farmers Committee hosts a Grain for Groceries drive as a fundraiser for food pantries throughout the county. Chair of the committee, Heath Houck, has the details.
We host the Grain for Groceries drive, and we've hosted it since 2011. It's been a very successful program. And kind of how it's set up is the farmers in the county donate money to the local elevators, and all the elevators in the county participate. And that money is then sold, whether it be 5 bushels, 10 bushels, 100 bushels, whatever it is, that grain is then sold, and that money is collected. And then once a year, we collect that money, usually at the beginning of December, and then we will disperse that money right before Christmas to give to the food pantries. This year, we collected just over $4,000, and all that money then was given back to the food pantries. Each pantry got right around $400.
Heath went on to say that it's a program that the group is pretty proud of because this year's total of just over 4,000 is a number they've reached every year.
That's about where we've been the last few years. So we've done it roughly, I think this was our seventh one, and we've done roughly $4,000 to $6,000 every year. So we're looking at, we've given back over $30,000 in that time period. So I would call it a big success. And I know in talking to the food pantries every year that they're really, really appreciative of that money.
The Young Farmers Committee presented the checks yesterday at the Farm Bureau office in Hillsboro. And while I was there, I had a chance to visit with the chairman of the Panhandle Food Pantry, Darren Darty. Darren supported Heath's claim that they're thankful for the donation because it helps them support over 20 families every week.
The food pantry keeps us busy. We have a great need, as most towns do in the area. And we see between 20 and 30 families every Saturday. We're open from 8:30 to 10:30 every Saturday morning. And families can come each week, too. We try to give them a good variety of staples and some specialty items too, some breads, dairy when we can, those type of things. We have meat available every week also. But of course, canned goods are a staple. They have a great shelf life and people can work those into their meal planning and use them as they can. We also try to get cereal for the kids and juice, stuff that's appropriate for all family age brackets too. So, works out well.
I visited with Darren a little more about donations to the pantry, and he mentioned that they do have a constant need for food items, but suggested that the first few months after the holidays are often when they see the least amount of donations. He also listed some of the items that would be the most helpful to donate.
Our need is ongoing throughout the year, and to be honest with you, people are very generous. We have a great outpouring of support from the community in November and December. Oftentimes, I think our pantry is not alone in this issue. Once the holidays are over, January through March are pretty slim months as far as seeing people coming in the door with donations and such. We're always in need of things, especially right now with the schools out and stuff. We try to give extra cereal while the kids are home from break. The kids aren't getting breakfast at school right now. We try to make sure we have extra juice for the kids. Again, something besides just water or maybe soda or whatever other options might be. So if we can have nutritious stuff like that on hand, we'd love to get out of the way during the holidays and stuff too while the kids are home from break. Our constant needs are always this type of year, soups, chilies, those type of things. A lot of protein, a lot of fulfillment in those type of meals. And again, that's easy preparation for the most part. Also then, of course, juice, cereal I mentioned earlier, any kind of canned product like meats such as tuna, chicken breast, those type of things go a long ways also as far as preparing a meal. We have a great relationship with the Central Area Food Bank out of Springfield, and we're able to get the hamburger helper and the chicken helper really economical from them. So if we have those canned meat products to throw in there, it makes a meal pretty economical and very easy for a family to prepare.
And if you are interested in donating to the Panhandle Food Pantry, you can drop off items on Saturday mornings from 8:30 to 10:30 or give Darren a call at the Pleasant Hill Christian Church in Raymond at 229-3074. And we'll be back with more ag news after these messages. Looking at some more local ag news, dairy cooperatives Prairie Farms Dairy and Swiss Valley Farms have announced a merger agreement that will merge the two businesses. The two cooperatives said last week that the agreement would bring together two well-known brands and expand sales opportunities. Prairie Farms Dairy will acquire 5 manufacturing plants in Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. If approved, the deal is expected to close in mid-2017. Prairie Farms Dairy represents more than 600 farm families and 35 manufacturing plants with annual sales of over $3 billion. Prairie Farms is, of course, based in Carlinville, while Swiss Valley Farms is headquartered in Davenport, Iowa. In other news, in what ag groups are calling a victory, a federal court last week dismissed a lawsuit that would have forced the EPA to impose strict nutrient standards on farmers in the Mississippi River Basin. The basin is the world's second largest, draining nearly 2 million square miles across 31 states. Environmental groups wanted the agency to impose regulations on the amount of nitrogen and phosphorus that could be in waters in the basin. Meat industry publication Meeting Place says the lawsuit piggybacked on a petition the environmental group sent the EPA in 2008 asking the agency to draw up a regulation for the basin. However, the EPA declined that petition. In the more recent case, the plaintiffs argued that federal law required the EPA to determine whether to impose a regulation based on scientific data that they say shows current controls are not working, and the agency's refusal to do so violates the law. And that's all we have today for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.